name of the triune God, may we hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
First of all, I need to tell these wonderful deacons I'm intimidated by a full set of three pews right in front of the pulpit. I'm used to space over here, and they already have a private line to the bishop is what I've heard from this. I need to tell you it's very hard to preach a sermon today after our presiding bishop Michael Curry preached such a marvelous sermon on the redemptive power of love at the royal wedding yesterday. This happens to preachers. They get all set and then something happens, you see. And you get all off. I hope this will be as coherent as the reading from Acts of this sermon. We celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the day when Jesus' promise of giving the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church and to every member of the church was fulfilled. Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit in his last conversation with his disciples prior to his departure when he ascended into heaven. Jesus keeps his promises. On that first Pentecost, Jesus fulfilled what he promised. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the church in great power, and the same Holy Spirit is with us, empowering the church to this day. In our Bible study last Monday, as we prepared for this day, we observed that this story of Pentecost not only spoke of the Holy Spirit spreading the church all over the world, it also spoke personally to us individually. As Michael Curry reminded us yesterday, the Holy Spirit is the redemptive power of love. It is Christ's unconditional love, a love that is not selfish but sacrificial. We've heard the story from Acts in several languages. The gift of the Holy Spirit empowered the disciples to speak in the native tongues of all the people in the known world. In the future, the Holy Spirit would convert people of many more languages across the world and down to our present day. It is an historic fact that the church spread just as Jesus said it would. It is an historic fact that we should take the time on this day to remember that. Jesus instructed his disciples in his last conversation with them 10 days before when he ascended to heaven that they would be witnesses, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. All this was to happen through the conversion of countless disciples. Jesus' instruction was not only obeyed, it was fulfilled. And those of us who sit here in this church right now, today are irrefutable proof of the power of Jesus' Holy Spirit to guide the church into all truth, to remember all that Jesus taught, and to bring to fulfillment his plan for the salvation of the world. This is not fancy theology. This is simple, historic truth. The church grew as Jesus promised. I might add a personal note as we sit here in the northwest of the United States. I don't know if you realize it. We're halfway around the world from Jerusalem. We're about 9, 10, 11 hours from Jerusalem. It's 24. So we're about halfway. And so as we sit here in the northwestern part of the northern continent, just be reminded, we're about as far away as you can get from Jerusalem. And the gospel got here. So we're living proof that Jesus' promise was fulfilled. The growth of the church all over the world is the first lesson which we can take from the record we've heard from the book of Acts. But there's another very important lesson. It's a political lesson for us to appreciate as well. What began in Jerusalem on that first Pentecost has continued in spite of every effort by every hostile power to stop the movement of the church across the world. Jesus had been crucified by the hands of the Roman Empire, the most powerful empire previously known. And over the next 400 years, the Holy Spirit would grow the church in spite of persecutions and martyrdom and making spectacles of Christians in public forums where they refused to give their highest loyalty to the Roman Emperor. Their faith was that Jesus is Lord, not that Caesar is Lord. And a famous theologian named Tertullian gave us the oft-quoted proverb that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It is an historic fact that Rome fell. It is also an historic fact that the church not only survived Rome, it replaced it. The love of power was replaced by the power of love. The Holy Spirit spread the church across the dark continent of Europe, thanks in large measure to several monastic movements of men and women which preached the gospel of Jesus, cared for the poor, converted the pagans, guarded the treasures of Western civilization, educated centuries of clergy and baptized Christians, provided hospitals for the sick, and gave hospitality to the stranger. From the dark continent of Europe, missionary movements would spread across every continent and isle, every language and nation, and every color of skin, all because Jesus left his Spirit to guide his church into all truth against all efforts to defeat her. The Holy Spirit drew the church down through history. The Holy Spirit was also active and alive in the soul of every baptized Christian. But we all need some teaching and practice in discerning what the Spirit is saying to us. We've not done a very good job, in my opinion, in the church of educating Christians to understand the work of the Spirit in their own lives and the lives of others. We seem to talk more easily about God the Creator and Jesus as the Son of God, but the work of the Holy Spirit seems to get less attention in our understanding of how the Spirit works in us and for us. It's not overly complicated, but it takes some training and some teaching. The Holy Spirit is the very life of Jesus implanted in us at our baptism. Our job is to discern the will of the Spirit for our lives and then to follow it. How would we know whether we are following Jesus' Spirit or following another false spirit? In the fourth chapter of John's first letter, he warns us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Testing the spirits to discern the Holy Spirit from a false spirit is a central discipline of every disciple." And there are some basic principles which can be followed to help us discern God's will. For one thing, our prayer life should always be accompanied by a life of scripture reading. Reading scripture is a basic spiritual discipline. There are many things we can learn about the will of God which simply can be known from the reading of Scripture. God has spoken about a lot of things. We just need to study what he has said. And sometimes we know very well from Scripture what the Holy Spirit is saying. We just don't want to hear it. A major discipline in discerning the Holy Spirit is being immersed in the Bible as the inspired Word of God. When we read the Bible, we often discover that the Bible actually reads us and speaks to our condition. Let me offer another criterion. There are many criterion in the literature, which has been around over a long time, but we don't have time to go into that today. I'm going to just talk about three criteria. And I don't want to break the two rules of preaching. I don't know if you ever heard about it. There are two. One is you preach about Jesus, and the other is you preach about 20 minutes. So another criterion for discerning the Holy Spirit is making a decision is peace, a deep inner peace. We may only come to a deep inner peace after a period of testing and struggle. An example of this happened to me many years ago when I was asked by a parishioner who was a close friend what I thought about him taking a certain job that he was being offered. And as he explained his situation, I noticed that he seemed very intense, almost manic. When he finished describing the context of his decision, I was quite uncomfortable, and I said to him what was hard for me to say, but I said it anyway, because I knew it was true. I said to him, I don't like saying this to you, it gives me no pleasure, but you seem very agitated and anxious. Years later, he told me what was really going on with him at the time. He was unhappy with his job and was ready to take any offer just to escape from his job. He went home that day and turned down the offer. And a short time later, he received a much better offer that completely changed his career path and started him on a direction that bore fruit beyond anything he could have ever imagined. When we try to discern the Holy Spirit, it is very important to guard against feelings of escape. The Holy Spirit would want us to face what is not right in our work rather than avoid what is not right. We should only change jobs when we are going from strength to strength rather than trying to escape. And there's another criteria I want to share with you, then I'm finished. Another criteria for discerning the will of God, which I have experienced many times over the course of my life, is the element of surprise. Sometimes we receive information about a decision which we did not initiate, but may have some bearing on a decision we need to make. Information we did not initiate can be the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Our God is a God of surprise, who will give us information in ways that we did not anticipate. The Holy Spirit is the life of Jesus embedded in our souls. It is Christ's love directing us, challenging us, healing us, and reconciling us to accomplish the will of God in us and for us. As disciples, we are called to seek the will of God and follow it. God is for us. God always advocates for us. The Holy Spirit is the love of Christ guiding and growing us and the church. The Holy Spirit is the power of love overcoming the love of power as God advances his kingdom. And so on this day of Pentecost, as we hear about God's gift of the Holy Spirit to the church and to us, may we continue to grow in our understanding of Jesus' Spirit at work in us. May we make room for the will of God to have its way with us, so that our lives may flourish, the church may be built up, and the name of Jesus glorified. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father, Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is.